This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batson with Gregory Copley at 100 years from my flagship WOR in New York. We're talking about the hard news from parts of the world that are observing Ukraine crisis. The President of the United States has spoken. The Chancellor of Germany, the President of France, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, the Prime Minister of Italy, all major powers in the strategic, geostrategic game of Eurasia. We go now, however, to two states in Africa with apparently different fates. One, Ethiopia. Gregory, there's only good news that I can find in Ethiopia. Prime Minister Abiy inviting in banking partners. The government is open to talks with the Tigray rebels. Is the civil war over, or is that too premature?
Well, it's too premature to say that the civil war is over, but it's definitely clear that the government of Prime Minister Dr. Abiy Ahmed Ali is back in the driver's seat. Dr. Abiy has taken a breath and gone back out and started to win back friends in Europe. And that is a direct consequence of those European states, Germany in particular, and the United Kingdom, turning their back on real pressure from the US State Department to not deal with Ethiopia. Both the Germans and the Brits have gone into Ethiopia in the last few weeks and have agreed to put in a lot of new trade measures and aid measures to get back to normal. And we started to see that trend happening in late November last year, when it was clear that the Foreign and Commonwealth Office in Britain, for example, and the foreign ministries in Germany and France were really taking their cue from the US State Department, from Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, saying, do not treat with the government of Ethiopia. These European governments basically came to the conclusion that this was not good advice for them to follow because it was against their specific interests. So we've now seen that policy reversed. And this has been a major setback for Antony Blinken in Foggy Bottom. So that's good news for Ethiopia. And we're going to see a lot more. What was of particular importance was that the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam on Sunday, this past Sunday, started producing hydroelectric power, pumping that into the Ethiopian grid. The next step will be to gradually step up the production of electricity from the dam and go into the export business, which is what the dam was created to do. Now, one of the things which Prime Minister Abiy did when he announced the start of commercial production of energy from the dam was to pay tribute to former leaders, but particularly he paid tribute to Emperor Haile Selassie, who had first envisaged this dam as a source of energy for all of the Horn of Africa, not just Ethiopia, but also particularly Sudan and beyond. So this was a great change in Ethiopia because it's now moving back to saying, yes, the government of Haile Selassie, which was overthrown in 1974 by the pro-Soviet Derg, the Communist Committee, which killed Haile Selassie, and now Haile Selassie is being praised. And a lot of Ethiopians have taken great heart from that acknowledgement of Haile Selassie. And there are other elements, the ones which went the communist path from 1974 onwards, who have been alarmed by this turn back towards the imperial period. But apart from that, there is a war still going on. And it's not just the TPLF, which is every day becoming reduced in its capacity and in its ability to influence even the Tigrayan population. But we're seeing that the war is continuing by the Oromo Liberation Front, which is equally a xenophobic and racist power, which is explicitly genocidal, as was the TPLF. They want to kill people who are not Oromos and who espouse the Ethiopian national religion, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. So that war is still underway, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done to bring it under control.
Gregory, we just have a couple of minutes, and I want to speak well of Ethiopian future, but I want to especially flag what's happening in Mali, because France is leaving after years of investment in settling down that Francophile country, where they're said to be leaving the military because they were ordered out by the Mali government. Who's taking their place, Gregory? This is an ongoing conflict with the jihadists.
That's right. I mean, the French say they're leaving, but they were kicked out, as you point out, by the interim military government. Which also kicked out the ECOWAS forces, although a lot of them are still there. The interim government also kicked out a lot of the European powers, although some of them, like Germany, still have troops there. The reality is they do need help to bring the jihadists and Islamists under control. And the interim government has turned to Russia. And Russia is providing private military contractor, the Wagner Group, to provide personnel.
We have 1 minute, Gregory. Is France okay with this? Have they protested? Have they spoken aloud about it? We have less than a minute.
Paris is indignant, but it's basically because of French paternalism that they were kicked out. So France is not happy with it, and it does weaken France's position in West Africa and Central Africa.
So we can suppose that Russia moving into Mali is another development of Russian adventurism in the world. Is that fair?
No, Russia is moving there in a very prudent fashion, because Mali is the fourth largest producer of gold in Africa, and okay. Russia is a major gold trader.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, on this, the 100th anniversary of my New York flagship, WOR, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.